in Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Verses 5 through 7, and then some more. O Lord, what great works you do. It ain't saying did, it said do. He is still doing great works. You get that? He's doing. And how deep are your thoughts? What has the Lord said? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are far above and beyond your thoughts. That's Isaiah 55, by the way. Verse 6. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. There's a colon there. That alludes to this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed. But it didn't say that God was going to do the weeding. Who's got to do the weeding in the garden, in our gardens? We do. We do. Because if you don't keep up with the weeds, they will overtake your lawn, and then somebody might come along with a weed whacker and knock them off before you can pull them out and get rid of them. See, because they're not done if you don't rip them out by the root. So we got to trust in the Lord. Because there's no doubt about it, we have the ability to do the weeding. We do. Verse 8 says, but you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish, and all evildoers will be scattered. Now I'm going to read this for y'all. Verse 10. But you have made us as strong as a wild ox. You have anointed us with the finest oil. Our eyes have seen the downfall of our enemies. Our ears have heard the defeat of our wicked opponents. You hear that? See, that's how you make and talk. That scripture can talk to you. But I was doing that so it was talking to you as a group this morning. But you do that for yourself. Verse 12, though. Because that's part of the righteousness that we get through Christ. It said, but the righteous will flourish. The righteous will flourish. It's talking to us. The righteous will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. Palm trees are known for their long life. To flourish like palm trees means to stand tall and to live long. The cedars of Lebanon, they grew to 120 feet in height and up to 30 feet in circumference. Now, actually, some of them were from 40 to 80. They were solid, strong, and immovable. Those who place their firm, confident faith in God can have this strength and vitality. Thought I'd get an amen at least. And do we ever need that strength right now? And to be immovable? So we are facing corruption in our government, the likes that has not been seen. We are facing laws that bring ruin and death. Laws that are prejudiced against Almighty God and His people. Christianity is being defied. The powers, principalities, rulers of darkness in this present age and the hosts of wickedness in heavenly places want to strangle the life out of God's people with evil prescriptions, decrees, lies, and deception. Can we deny that corruption is now rampant in our land? We are lied to without any consequences for it. You know, Congress gets a bypass for real. They can say whatever they want. Those that are in Congress, they can lie to us, and nothing happens to them. Don't you do it. I have repercussions for it. Many of you don't want to do it because God doesn't like it. That's the first and foremost. So we have professional liars who now fill public offices in America in all levels of our government. Our relevance is scoffed at. Liberal bias against Judeo-Christian values has now filled our education systems and media. But see, we have a lot of those that are in the education system that we put our hope in, because they're our only voice to these kids. But I don't know if you've seen some of the things that these kids are taught. I mean, a teacher can recruit them into Antifa. I don't know if you saw that. He said, I have 180 days to turn them into revolutionaries. And if nobody knows that, just send your kids there. We're thinking they're getting a good education. Get involved. Go to the school board meeting. See what kind of curriculums are going out there. Much of the media, it does nothing but lie to us. One after another, after another, after another. Now, hundreds of examples can be given. Every one of you, I know I can get several out of them. You can tell me one after another how we've been lied to. Now, they mock the church regularly with words. Now, let me clarify. What I'm talking about here is word curses. And they are put into print and spoken into the air via radio, TV, internet, and are done every day by the extreme biased media. A word curse is a statement that belittles, defames, and brings harm and ruin in some way. It's a pronouncement of judgment that causes loss or harm, designed to captivate with thoughts of fear and bondage. Fear brings bondage. Faith brings liberty. Just need to point that out. We hear them constantly pounded against God's people by the godless press and the godless politicians. They pronounce judgment on our Christian values every day. They mock them, they belittle them, and they disdain them. Now, you have probably heard and seen, as I have, that reporters on the liberal networks who actually shook their heads and rolled their eyes as they belittled the values that we hold dear. This also I have seen on the news and on C-SPAN done by our politicians. It is critical that the church hear the challenge and, like Queen Esther, intercede. And right now, prayer of intercession is needed more than ever to change things. Prayer of intercession. Prayer is important. Prayer is not optional. You got to make it priority. Priority one, prayer. She prayed and made an appeal. Like Esther and Mordecai, we too must rise up for such a time as this. For we also are facing legislation that brings bondage. Our liberties and freedoms are at stake right now. Religious bias against abortion is being defined as hate speech. And harsh penalties are even being suggested. 6,000 years of marriage is now being redefined in our courts daily. Public prayer is being ridiculed and has been banned from schools and activities. Some have even suggested that we redefine Christianity and modify our beliefs to fit the present culture. I'm telling you, that's what's out there. But think about that for a moment. Harsh penalties simply because we believe. You get that? Simply because we believe. And what do we believe? We believe in the Scriptures to be true, right? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, every Scripture was given to us by inspiration from God and is used to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped for every good work. That means to do good to everyone. Selah on that one for a moment. Did you ever think we would be punished, though, for believing God's word? Well, that's what's happening right now. It's a time to reverse the condescending rhetoric and constant judgment. It is time to change evil decrees that cause feelings of despair and end the fearful apprehension of feeling that something bad will happen. Not if you focus on the Lord and you'll put your confident trust in the Lord. 70% of our nation believes it is going in the wrong way. So why not change it? The 30% seem to be ruling what's going to happen. 70% want to change it. I think we can change it. We've got to get together. And we are coming together, praise God, every day. Now, Mordecai said to Esther in Esther 4, verses 14 and 15, 16, God has brought you, Queen Esther, into the palace for just such a time as this. That was to change the evil decree over God's people, the laws that had been written. That legislation that got signed, okay? Legislation, once it's signed, becomes law. Can you change it? Yes, you can. Then Esther sent this message to Mordecai. She knew where her priority was, first of all. Go and gather together all the Jews of Shushan and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night and day. And I and my maidens will do the same. And then, though it is strictly forbidden, I will go to see the king. And if I perish, I perish. She put her life on the line to obey God. God did not let her down. He was with her every step of the way. And if you read the story and you read the plan, it could only be one thing, God's plan. It is time for the ecclesia to rise up for such a time as this and do and say what God says, speak with authority, pronouncing a different prescription. We must rise up in faith and trust our almighty great God ruling in the midst of our enemies. The insanity has to stop, folks. And it can only be stopped by a real church, not a pretend one. Our prayer is the apostles' prayer in Acts 4:29. Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant us, your servants, with all boldness, that we may speak your word. All boldness. That's what they were asking for. And when they went out and opened their mouth, the words came out. God will put the words in there necessary for you to say what you need to say. When you go to the school board meeting, you attend the PTA meeting, you go to the council meetings, or you pick up the phone and you call your representative, let him know what you think. Because you pay for them. You pay their salary. They're supposed to be representing us, and they can't represent us unless we know what we want them to do for us. God will give you the word to say. In Job 22:27, you will decree something to be, and God will make it so. And what we say, prayer is decreeing a purpose that God can make so, or he can make happen. Decrees create. They can create ideas in your heart. They create things that are not seen with the natural eye. Decrees call those things that do not exist as though they did. Decreeing can create changes in conditions and in the atmosphere, physically, spiritually, emotionally, materially, governmentally, politically, vocationally, and provisionally. Decrees are a creative force, and they release a creative force that will bless us. Isaiah 42:9, God says, new things I declare. I like that. New things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Notice that he said, I declare them before they spring forth. I pronounce them before they ever are. Now, the New International Reader's Version. Now, I announce new things to you before they ever begin to happen. I announce them to you. So God says, I announce them, I declare, without negation first, so that they can be seen. I declare them without negation. See, that's very important. Authority language, the language of a king, does not speak with words of negativity, especially when desiring our king's anointing. King David refers to authority language quite often in the Psalms. And one that is interesting, I found, is Psalm 26:1. And it reads, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Not is an important word to understand. It is the Hebrew word lo, which means faint or weary. Lo is grammatically used in English language as a particle of negation, and it is often seen in the Old Testament. Let me say that again. I shall not slide. It didn't say, see, if it say, I shall slide, then I shall not slide. Okay. Let that sink in for a second. In other words, it is used to make a positive statement negative. It contradicts a positive statement by injecting negativity into the wording of the sentence. Here's another example that you might find yourself saying, I'm going to do this. Maybe. No, you are either going to do it or you are not. Okay, one more. I'm 100% certain, I think. No, you either are or you are not. It's called negativity you're speaking into that sentence. You're negating what you just said. I shall not slide. I'm going to stand firm. I shall not backslide. Yeah, some people say, I'll never backslide. Well, you know, but if, you know, you're negating what you just said. Getting my drift? Thank you. Because I tell you, the Holy Spirit kept pointing, man, I like this. David said, I'm a king walking before the Lord in integrity, and I refuse to be negative or interject negativity into any of my commands. I will not rule negatively, he says. The king's anointing, which of course is Christ's anointing to rule and reign in this life, will not flow through us if we are negative. Negativity will stifle the flow of the anointing through us, and God will not be able to do what he wants to do for us. God wants to make us rule and reign, but we can't do it in negativity. David says, I'm a king, and I value the king's anointing on my life. So I will not inject any negativity into my character. There can be no confusion or any uncertainty. Our words must be decisive. Kings who succeed are not negative. Now I'm going to stop right there because the Holy Ghost is prompting me. Last week, I told a story about the man who went into the monastery. Okay? And when I told that story, I said, Tony, you're going to like this story. And you know what some people thought? That I was talking to her, and she even thought, were you meaning that I'm negative? No. She just always says, well, I like that story. It was referring that she liked the stories I tell. And so people were, no, had nothing to do. She is not a negative lady, okay? So please, I want to correct that right here from the pulpit, okay? And that's why when she had to call me because she was like, okay, do I do that? Not that, hey, that was not nice of you. She was saying, do I do that? Because I don't want to be that type of person. So that shows me that her heart's right. You understand me, folks? She wanted to make sure if there was something she needed corrected, she wanted it corrected. So that wasn't the case, okay? I know, side journey, but I know the Holy Ghost said, take care of that right now. In fact, I told her I was going to do that. And I'll be honest with you, I wanted to do it before service. And totally, it never came to my thought. Why? Because the Holy Spirit didn't want it there. He wanted it here. Okay? When we decree or declare a thing, it has to be without negation. Isaiah 42:9, Knox translation. I tell you now what is still to be, you shall hear it before it ever comes to light. God says, if it is to be, if I have purposed it to be, I will speak it first before it ever comes to life. Holy Spirit, take it deep into their hearts. They're listening to this. It's very, very important. First comes the decree, a declared word that he will not change or negate. To what he's saying right there. And the Living Bible says, I will prophesy again, and I will tell you the future before it happens. See, that's what prophecy is, foretelling something before it happens. Anyone can prophesy after something happens. So God says, I explain with my words what is to be before it ever materializes. It doesn't materialize until I speak it, he says. It doesn't materialize until there is a decree. Decree a thing? See, that's what Hebrews 11:1 is all about. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith decreed becomes substantive, meaning it having substance, a firm basis in reality. Faith-filled words materialize if we do not negate them. Isaiah 42 again. New things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell them to you. I took you back there so we could break this a little bit apart in Hebrew. The word before here is the Hebrew word tarim. It is a very important word for us to understand because it means suspended in time or not yet occurred. So God says, while its existence is suspended in time, while it has not yet occurred, I decree it. The two words spring forth are from the Hebrew word tesamach. It is an agricultural word that means to sprout, to bud, to grow to fullness. It indicates a process that will come to fullness, to maturity. It sprouts, then it buds, and finally it grows into fullness when it is decreed. It will not come to fullness until it is decreed or planted. Am I making sense? The word tell is the Hebrew word shama, meaning to sound a message, to announce something, to proclaim or to voice. In order to create, we have to voice it. Before it occurs, announce it. It will never produce what it is if we don't plant it and decree it. Genesis 22:18. Amplified. See, God told a man named Abraham, Abram at the time though, that he was going to be the heir of the world and the father of nations. Through your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have heard and obeyed my voice. See, it all started with disobedience. And we know what that cost us. Obedience gets us back on track with God. Notice that this was before Abram ever had a son. And God decreed this to Abram when it was impossible for him. Abram was 99. And Sarai, she was 89. Well past the age of childbearing. But God isn't bound by any limitations. Be careful, guys. He is not bound by any limitations. He wasn't moved by what Sarah and Abram looked like at their age. It didn't matter to him. What you think you can't do because you think you're too young or you're too old, like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Oh, this one's too hot. This one's too cold. Oh, this one, I think it's just right. No. While having a child was suspended in time and before it occurred, the rim, God prophesied it. Do you hear that? No longer do you say, someday she'll be pregnant. She's going to get pregnant. You say, no, she's pregnant. She's pregnant. I decree in Jesus' name she's pregnant. I decree my daughter is going to walk and stand up out of that cart. You have showed it to me. I decree it. So when it says, how's Leanne? I say, she's walking. I'm not going to negate what I'm saying over my daughter. What you're believing for your daughters, your sons, decree it. And then don't negate it. Don't negate it. What's the word say? Put a guard over your mouth. A good muzzle. I'm not going to talk. Praise God. While it looked impossible, God announced it. He declared it. He spoke authority, words of faith. He created what was impossible for man with his words. We must decree words of faith first in order to create promises that are impossible where man is concerned. We must decree what seems impossible in the natural realm to see it materialize. Are you hearing me? Are you two hearing me? Okay. Don't negate what you say. When you decree it, don't negate it. Don't negate it. I'm going to have myself a new house once we get the money. You negated it. What God promised, don't negate what you're saying. You cannot go back and say, that's what, oh, see what I'm trying to tell you? Okay. And I'm not, it's the Holy Spirit bringing this up. You know, we're family here. And I want to see nothing but the best for everybody. Amen. I want to see everybody living in prosperity, having abundance in your house, not worrying about things, not having to have concerns, to be praying, trusting God, moving forward, doing what we have to do, joining together as a church. As a church. Doing things for God. Advancing the kingdom. Advancing the kingdom. There are people out there that are hurting. And without us advancing, they have no hope. We must decree words of faith first in order to create promises that are impossible where man is concerned. We must declare what seems impossible in the natural realm to see it materialize. Why are you repeating that, Pastor? Because I want to make sure you're getting it. Then it can spring forth, sprout, bud, and grow to fullness. The promises will remain impossible suspended in time until it is decreed. The moment it's decreed in faith, it becomes possible. Who makes it possible? God. He is the God of the impossible. Impossible is not in His vocabulary. Why do you keep wanting to insert it into His vocabulary? He will never say it. He doesn't speak it. All things are possible. We have to simply believe. When the promise is decreed, it is conceived. It goes past mere knowledge and becomes substance that is planted and can grow. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. I have made thee. Hadn't happened yet. I have made thee. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. That is one of the most loaded statements in all Scripture. Understanding it is of paramount importance to moving in faith and creating things that don't exist with our words. God's declaration was, I have made thee a father of many nations. He said, it is done. Boom. It's done. God didn't put any stipulations on it. He said, it's done. It's done. You are a father. There is no uncertainty in that decreed statement over that man. We have the proof of it. We are the living proof of it. There is no maybe and nothing negative injected into it. God went so far as to say, change your name from Abram to Abraham because Abraham means father of a multitude. God created what he expected to see. What do you expect to see when you decree something? He expected to see what he decreed. He wasn't wasting his time. Wasn't wasting his breath, was he? Even though it looked impossible for man. It was a done deal as far as he was concerned. The principle is very clear. We are to declare what we expect to see using authority language. We have to live like we are truly who we are. The sons and daughters of God. See, many in the body are passive where their faith is concerned, waiting to see something before they decree something. But we cannot see if we don't decree. It's just not possible. The principle is clear in the lives of both the Old and New Testament saints. It is also clear in the life of our King, King Jesus. If we want to see promises materialized, then we have to decree them without negation. We must declare them done in His name. Now, I often hear people who are believing for our promise say, but I don't see any evidence of this. Exactly. See, that is the point. You don't see evidence because it is suspended in time. It doesn't exist yet. Quit looking at that. Quit looking at that. Look at what you've decreed. You cannot see evidence until you plant a decree. But people will say, well, if I say that, I'm lying. No. You are creating. It is not lying. Don't negate. Create. My wife decreed, Teresa. She decreed, Lord, my husband is saved, born again, spirit-filled, and on fire, serving you. That was what she would say when people would ask her in a church. Husband coming to church? She'd say, no, he is here. He is born again, spirit-filled, and on fire, serving the Lord. In the meantime, I was sitting at the club having on Sunday morning. All right. She said that. She believed it. She spoke no negation. She did not negate that. She kept saying it. That was what she stood on. Once she said it, then she was done. She said, it's up to you, Lord, to make it happen. It's up to you. I've decreed it. I've done what you told me to do. If you don't negate what you decree, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. So with that, we decree miracles are being released today in Jesus' name. Any obstacles or of a delay caused by the devil, we bind them in the name of Jesus. You stop it. You get out of the way. We declare the wonders of heaven will be seen. Loose them, Lord. Amazing signs unfold now. Irrefutable signs bringing focus on a living, awesome, true God. Amen. Amen. Now that's the end of my message, but I wrote down a prayer, and if you got time, I'd like to read it with you guys. Lord, let your surge, like a tsunami, begin on the earth. Let a functioning kingdom align with you, begin to move through this world. Come to us in greater manifestations of your glory. Make your stand with us as you promised. As kings in his lineage, given authority, we declare there will now come a reversal of arteries that are all clogged up. Release thousands and thousands of angels to go into every country, every courthouse, every capital in every nation, and rip off the band-aids. No more temporary fixes. No more covering it up. Cut it out. Almighty God, do deep surgery on this nation. Release them to push back darkness so that the light can shine. Do what is necessary to remove infection and poison that goes into the muscle of America. Shake this nation to its core. Shake it, Lord, to where there is no more covering it up. Heal it. Do whatever it takes to heal it. No more band-aids. Let your church awaken. Awaken your people by the millions to make a stand right now to raise their voice and decree their authority, their faith, and their confidence in you. Cause a historic shift that will be written about in history for the generations to come. The time when you established this nation back to its covenant roots. In the name of our King Jesus, release the angels of heaven under Holy Spirit anointing and leadership to destroy tactics of Haman in the media and government. Turn it back on them, what is meant for destruction. Hang them in their own vices. Hang them from the gallows they meant for your people. Cut off hell's attack. We forbid it in Jesus' name. We close the door to powers of darkness over Washington, D.C. We close the door to the powers of demon princesses of hell. In the name of Jesus, we say that our angel princesses that are mightier than you will go in and begin to remove the infection. We declare a reversal of the prescription of hell for this nation, the prescription of Haman for this nation. Exposure, Lord. Yes, continue to expose the lies, expose the corruption, expose the deceit. We declare America will return to you. We will return to our first love. Your people will return to their first love. Those who have drifted from you, shake them up. Do whatever is required. Quit allowing them to put band-aids on the corruption of their heart. Expose attitudes and character. Expose lack of integrity. We declare the greatest days of resurrection power and healing are now being released. We declare a restoration of great hope is being infused into the body of Christ. We declare your kingdom is coming, coming, coming. Come with your angel armies and assist your people in releasing revival in America and through the world. We raise to bind demon thrones, principalities, powers, demons of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. You will not rule us. You are forbidden from ruling us. We will not permit it. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Come down from your iniquitous thrones. Demon princes, come down from your strongholds. Angel armies, attack them. Let the ruling kingdom of God go forth to conquer. We choose to rule and reign. We will not be intimidated by any fear. We will not be intimidated by anyone or anything anywhere else. We answer only to our King, King Jesus. Strengthen us to be courageous and make a stand. Release your kingdom to reorder this nation back to its covenant roots in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we decree it today. Amen. 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 Thank you. God bless each and every one of you. And I pray that the angels be encamped around about each and every one of you. And as I always do, I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one of you. The blood that brings protection. Protection, redemption, saving power. Saving you. Saving you sometimes from the words you say and the things you negate with your words. It's the blood. And I cover you with the blood. Because there's power, wonder-working power in the blood. So be safe. Have a great day in Jesus' name. Thank you.